First Samuel chapter 1, and if it gets too hot, you may cut that heat down. Continuing the theme of worship, last week we found an appropriate passage in Genesis 22 having to do with Abraham and his son Isaac. And as I read this portion, you might not think that there was a similarity, but it's ever so dissimilar. But we shall see as we go along. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now there are 28 verses. See if your attention span is that long. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuth, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city from year to year to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, priests unto the Lord, were there. And when the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he gave to Peninnah his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters, portions. But unto Hannah he gave a double portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb, and her rival provoked her sore to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest was sitting upon his seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and my provocation have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thy handmaid find favor in thy sight. So the woman went her way, and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early, and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And it came to pass, when the time was come about, that Hannah conceived, and bare a son. And she called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah, and all his house, went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman tarried and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks, and one ephah of meal, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew the bullock, and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have granted him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he is granted to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord there. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are so thankful for the entirety of the Word of God, something so difficult to understand, so theological, so abstruse, and then other things, faith answering to faith, things that we can enter into, things that have happened to men and women this very day, like those that happened unto Hannah and Elkanah. We are thankful, our Father, that thy word is forever pertinent, and it is forever living and effectual in our hearts. We pray that we shall understand from the portion that we have read this night, and that as thou art seeking worshippers to worship thee in spirit and in truth, we shall be helped from this passage. Thou dost know what is necessary. We shall not enumerate all of these things again, but thou dost know. And so we cast ourselves upon thee. Bless us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Remarkably, three times in this chapter, we find the word worship occurring. The one that I want to bring to you that is of importance to us because of the meeting that we just observed a little while ago is the fact that Elkanah went up with his family year by year to worship. Remember that there are two kinds of worship. There is arranged worship and there is spontaneous worship. And the mistake that we make is this, thinking that all worship is spontaneous worship. But that is wrong. In like manner, indeed you should have guidance as to where you go and what you say. But this is what you find, that after Paul's first missionary journey, he did not go here and then cross the ocean and go there, but after the assemblies were established, it says that Paul went in order through Galatia and Phrygia. It says concerning Samuel that he went in circuit throughout the territories in which he presided as judge. Now, do you understand? Indeed, there are times when a Philippian jailer is in need and we get a Macedonian vision, come over to Macedonia and help us. That's good. But it does not mean that we're always to be somewhere in Galatia and then to think that God is calling us in Macedonia, or we are in Greece and God is calling us in Palestine. That is not always the case. Sometimes it is. It is not always that we are meditating upon the things of God, and God suddenly says to us, as he did to Philip, now, there is an Ethiopian eunuch in the desert. I want you to go and preach to him. Quite often, God instead says, be not foolish, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And because of that, God said again and again that in the place where he chose to cause his name to dwell there, all the males should appear before him 3 times in the year, and they should not appear before him empty. That is arranged worship. And a man might say, well, I just don't feel like going up to the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Tabernacles. God wasn't concerned whether they felt like it or not. He said, you be there and you bring a basket of fruit. Now, suppose I came to you this morning at 11 o'clock and they said, and now Brother Mills is going to speak. And I got up and said, I don't feel like speaking today. I don't feel the Spirit. Wouldn't that be good? You say, why? No, I don't think it would be. Why, of course not. Because God has arranged some things that are spontaneous, and God also has arranged other things that are at set seasons. You'll find that God had in the first month and in the third month and in the seventh month certain feasts that were to be observed. And it didn't matter whether you felt like it or not. God said concerning 3 of those feasts, every male must appear before me. And you might say, well, I can worship God just as well where I am here as going to Shiloh, as it was in 1 Samuel, later in Jerusalem. I can worship God here as well as anywhere else. God said, no, you worship me where I want to be worshiped, and you worship me how I want to be worshiped. This is arranged. This is something that is set forth in the Word of God. And the Bible says we must worship God in spirit and in truth. And some say worshiping God in spirit is everything. Others say worshiping God in truth is everything. But God says worshiping me in spirit and in truth is everything. And you must cultivate spontaneity. How do you do that? Well, let me ask you. Suppose you were one who was tight with your money and with your possessions. But God had said to you, now, when you have a slave and you let him go, you shall laden him with gifts. You shall enrich him because he labored for you in a way that no ordinary man would. You shall give to him, and God says, it shall not be hard unto thee to give to him. Well, how can you control that? Well, God says, you are not to find it hard. And he says in the first epistle of John, if we love God, we will keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. Have you ever heard of exercising yourself unto godliness? And I confess this to you. If I waited until I felt like studying and preparing to feed God's lambs and sheep, many times when 11 o'clock came, I would say, I don't feel the Spirit, brethren. That would be it. But God doesn't say that. He says, there are times that you appear and you bring a basket. And if you do that, you have to gather that basket in a pre-arranged way, and then you bring it to God. And then as we pray, if you lack wisdom, grant wisdom, my God. In like manner, you pray as God says to pray if you do not possess gifts in 1 Corinthians 14. Here are some that lack the ability to prophesy. God says, pray rather that you may prophesy. And what God is telling you is this, that if you lack that inability, but you want to be a worshiper, and you lack the wisdom and the comprehension as to how to do it, and God wants you to do it, do you mean that God is going to deny you that very thing that he tells you that he wants and that he promises to give you? But the Bible says, exercise thyself unto godliness, and that is what we have to do. And so there are pre-arranged times of the year that the Israelites had to go to worship God. And in like manner, on the first day of the week, early in the church, it was even more often than that. But at least on the first day of the week, the Christians gathered together to break bread. And my desire and my preparation of heart before I come to that remembrance meeting is not only that I am clean, but that I come full, something to give to the Lord. And that is why you meditate, you look in God's Word, and you think of those things as you read through it. Why, this is Christ. This is something that I can offer to God in the basket if the Spirit so guides me at the remembrance meeting. And so if you spend your whole week reading God's Word, filling that little basket of yours or that large basket, whatever your capacity might be, that is the important thing. And so Elkanah, faithfully, every year after year, he took his family up to worship. Now, let me tell you this, that there was not always happiness and there was not always unity in that family. Suppose all of you who have children and have, well, you can't have a multiplicity of wives, but suppose you have one wife and your children are disagreeable and they're fighting with one another. You would say, well, certainly God doesn't want me to come. Why, this isn't a pleasant thing. But God said he took them there. And year after year, Peninnah was prodding and ridiculing and tormenting poor Hannah. And think, every year, when it should have been a time when her heart was pouring out worship to God, instead it was filled with sadness because it said the Lord had shut up her womb and kept bringing it to her attention. She enjoyed making her sad. Now think, this is the condition every year when they went up to worship. And so some of you say, well, I don't always enjoy the time of worship. Well, I say for years and years, neither did Hannah. But she faithfully went in accordance to her husband's wishes because he wanted to take her and the others with him and wanted them to enter into the peace offering that he was offering because the burnt offering God would get. But there was this offering, and of that offering, you'll find that it was the fellowship offering. Some went to God, and some went to the priest, and some went to the family. And so Elkanah said, I want my whole family to enter into this fellowship with God and with one another. And so there is not always harmony when you come. But at the same time, God says, that does not prevent your coming. And one other thing to show you, that there are range times when you come. In the book of Deuteronomy, it mentions the first Passover, and some men were defiled, and they were not able to eat the Passover. And so God graciously arranges another time when they could eat the Passover. But he says, if there is any man who is clean and is not on a journey and forbids to eat that Passover, he shall be cut off. And so it's not spontaneous, whether you feel like it. What you have to do is to bring yourself into control, into conformity, into the attitude that should be yours. It says, gird up the loins of your mind. But you come out and you say, well, maybe something will come to me. The Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind. You must discipline yourself as a Christian, and you must exercise yourself. As the disciple said, Lord, teach us to pray. Well, can you not say, Lord, teach me to worship? And so if you stand up the first time and stumble, that is all right. Your children stumbled the first time they tried to speak a sentence. And yet they tried, and your heart rejoiced because your children were learning speech. And God in like manner says, putting it in the words of the Song of Solomon, let me hear thy voice. And when God hears your voice, his heart thrills. And then it says that thy progress may be manifest unto all. And I know those who at first were not able to worship, and yet they kept trying, and finally they have developed into worshipers that lift my heart to God. And so remember, indeed there is spontaneous worship. We're not going to even touch on that. I won't mention it tonight, but there is arranged worship, and this is what we have in this first book of Samuel, chapter 1. Here is arranged worship. You'll find that he goes up from year to year, and it says to offer sacrifices and to worship God. And also, he went up to vow a vow to God and to pay his vows. And so, this is what Elkanah had been doing. Not only was he going to worship God, but throughout the year, he thought of some vow, something that would be of benefit to God. And he made a vow to God. And when he went up, it says he went up to pay his vows to God. Now, let's think of Hannah for a moment. Do you know what corresponding name today you would be called if your name were Hannah in the Old Testament? Anybody have their name Grace? Well, her name means favor, and grace is unmerited favor, and so you would call her Grace. And Peninnah is the name for pearl. So if your name is Pearl, well, in Hebrew it would be Peninnah, and if your name is Grace, in the Hebrew it would be Hannah. And here is Hannah, year after year, growing up in misery and sorrow to this feast, and God had shut up her womb. And you're liable to say, well, this is a strange thing. God said, be fruitful and multiply. And God is so interested in the Israelite propagating his name and his tribe that if a man die and have no seed, why, his brother is to marry and go in and raise up seed to his brother. And yet God had shut her womb. This is a strange thing indeed. There are many things strange in the Bible. But God could explain them all, as the Lord Jesus did explain them in John chapter 9. Why was this man born blind? The Lord Jesus knew, and he told him, but he does not always tell us. But this is the fact, that Peninnah had children, an abundance of children, boys and girls, and she kept throwing this in the face of Hannah, and Hannah had no children, and it was not an accident. Let me mention this. There are some natural laws that God has set in motion, and there are times when God interposes and intervenes and alters these natural laws. Just remember that. I'll tell you about it someday, perhaps. And it said that God had shut up Hannah's womb. What kind of God is this? Why, he is a God who is working in Hannah's life because she is choice, as he worked in Abraham's life. Now, I told you that they are not dissimilar, but they are ever so similar, and I'll show you why. Abraham had to wait until he was 100 years of age. Think, from the time he was 75 until he was 100 years of age, he kept hearing these promises of God that you're going to have a child. And finally, when he was 100 years of age, he held that child in his arms. And then, when the child grew and became strong, God said to him, I want that child back. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and gave that child back to God. Now, you see the similarity? Here is a woman who wants a child, and she waits year after year after year, and the difference is this. Before God gives her a child, he impresses upon her that she is the first give the child to him. And then God said, I will give the child to you. And so in the case of Abraham, God gave the child, and then God said, Abraham, give me that child back. And Abraham did. And in this case, he said to Hannah, you want a child? Yes. God said, give me that child, and then I will give you that child. And so Hannah says, all right, Lord, I will do it. Now think, I know that this is correct. Inasmuch as Hannah, after years of being childless, finally said to the Lord and made a vow, Lord, if you will be gracious unto me, if I find favor, I told you the word Hannah meant favor, if I find favor in thy sight, if you give me a man child, then I make this vow to you. I will give that child back to you, and a razor will never come upon his hair. And so she's going to give the child to the Lord, and she's going to bring him up as a Nazarite from her womb. Not for a short period of time, but all his days. And the Lord said, all right then, under those conditions, I will give you a child. Well, what does it mean? It means then that before then, she became aware of the fact that she wanted a child so that she could say to Peninnah, you have children? I have children. What was her desire to have a child? Well, it was something less than perfect, the motive. And yet now, because of this sadness of heart all of these years, finally she is brought to the point when she says, Lord, if you will give me a child, I will give him back to you. Well, what does this mean? That before then she would not have given that child to the Lord? Why, of course, she would have done with her children the way you want to do with your children. Don't you realize that? That you don't want to sacrifice your child to the Lord. Why, you wouldn't think of letting your child be different from others. Why, you let them. Now, please modify it. Take it and apply it to yourself as much as possible. Why, your child to be made different. You see, the psychologists tell you that's not good. You will upset it. You will destroy that child. He will become a psychological misfit. And so here is poor Samuel. And before he's born, his whole life is controlled. You're going to be a priest. You're going to be separated from your father and mother as soon as you're weaned. And you're going to look different from all the other people. A razor will never come upon your head. Now, suppose young people today were told that. You're going to school where I want you to go. You're going to dress the way I want you to. You're going to wear your hair the way I want you to. What kind of rebellion would arise? And yet, this is what Hannah told God. And so I rejoice that here is Samuel. Now, Samuel could have rebelled, but he did not. And Isaac could have rebelled against the desire of his father Abraham, but he did not. But what God wanted Abraham to do with his son Isaac, Isaac concurred. And what God wanted Hannah to do with her son Samuel, Samuel concurred. And some of you young people out there, what your parents want you to be done for the glory of God, you want that? Or have you rebelled and said, I'm of age now, I will go my way? I want you to understand that God sets before us those that are worthier than you, that have much more promise than you. And yet Isaac said, you want to offer me up as a young man to God? It will bring glory to God. That is the will of God. Well, Father, sacrifice me. Anyone out there that feels that way? And here is Samuel. Mother, you want me to leave you? Why, I've been upon your breast since I was born, and as soon as I'm weaned, you're going to send me away from your love, and you're going to send me away from my daddy's love, and you're going to send me to this priest that falsely accused you at the first, who has wicked sons that live in sin. You're going to do all of that? And Hannah would say, yes, this is what I promised God. And Samuel would say, all right. And so as a child, yes, but that child grew up, and he accepted the vow that his mother had made. And he grew up to be one of the greatest leaders in Israel and a blessing to the nation of Israel. And so no wonder young people are not going on as they should. In the first place, mothers' hearts and fathers' hearts, too, are like Hannah's before. They are driven by extremities to say unto God, all right, Lord, give me a child, and I'll do what you wanted me to do all along. And so the Lord says, all right, I'll do it. And so, have you ever thought that the purpose of God's giving you children is to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that they are God's? If God takes that child, it was his in the first place, that Hannah had no children until God wanted to give a child, that Abraham had no children until God wanted to give that child, and so if God said, give me that child back by death, Abraham would say, yes. And if God said, give me that child back by separation from you, then Hannah said, yes. That I told you that worship is the recognition of the supremacy of God, the sovereignty of God that God demands. And we have no right to say nay to God. And Hannah understood this. And Abraham understood this. And so she said, God, if I had children, you must give them to me. And now that you've given him to me, I'm giving him back to you. Anything that you gave to God, it would not be anything that originated with you. What have you given to God that God has not first given to you? This is what he wants us to understand. And so if God says, give me your child, and you say, no, then you are not worthy of Abraham, and you are not worthy of Hannah. And yet you have far greater revelation and reason for doing what God says than they did. And so for some reason, God takes choice ones. And he says to Abraham and to Hannah, will you give me these children? And they say, Yes. And what would we say? I'm thinking this. If God dealt with us hypocrites as he did with Ananias and Sapphira, how many of us would be alive today? But God graciously lets us pretend. But at that time, he did not. And in the case of some, he has special ones. And God is prepared to let you suffer year after year after year that he might glorify himself. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. If I can comprehend this, do you mean what is happening to me is for the glory of God that the Son of God might be glorified? Yes. Then I should be able to say, thy will be done. And so when the child was born blind, it says he was not born because of the sin of his father and mother, but that the works of God might be manifest in him. And so if I know that what has happened is that God's works might be manifested in me, and that the Son of God might be glorified, and the Father might be glorified, then certainly as an enlightened Christian, I should be able to accept these things. And so remember, your children are God's in the first place. And if we only, before we had them, promised to give them to God, and he knew that we would not give them to God if he gave them to us, why, the world would be depopulated. And yet God gives us the children. And will you remember that what Hannah did, though it is exceptional, is exactly what God wants you to do. Why should you think that anything less than Hannah did is what you are entitled to do? As if God gives you a child and you say, now this child isn't yours, I'm not giving him to you. Now I'll let him come on Sunday, perhaps twice on Sunday, but I'm not giving him to you, and I'm not going to let him adorn himself, and I'm not going to let his appearance be in such a way that would offend others. I'm not going to let him be a misfit. And so remember this. If some parents have erred, we could point to Hannah and say, look at what you've done to your son. Look at his hair being long. And nowadays, we would say, look at your son. Look at his hair being short. You see, just the reversal. But it was Hannah, and in this case, in number 6, what was out of the ordinary was the long hair. And so if today it is the short hair, Samuel was prepared to be that way. But now, why? We would rise up as some young people are, and we are suing our parents because of what they did to us in our youth, you see? And so Samuel could say, I'm going to sue you, Hannah, because you did this to me. You turned me into a Nazarite, and you made me stay as a child in a bad environment with Eli and Hophni and Phinehas. I resent this. But he never said it. But he grew up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and he was a glory to God, and he was a help to Israel. And it says they worship God. They worship God 3 times. You'll find it there. Yes, worship God by arrangement. But then, when she came to give Samuel back to the Lord, she told, just as that man in Deuteronomy 26 brought that basket of fruit, and he made his confession, and he worshiped God. And it said that Hannah came and confessed that all that Eli had desired God to do for had been done, and God had fulfilled all of her promises. And it says, he worshiped God there. He. Now, I do not know if this is Samuel or if it is Eli worshiping God for Hannah or if it is Elkanah. But it says, he worshiped God. And this is something that no one else had brought to Eli before. Baskets, yes. First fruits, yes. Tithes, yes. But a son I'm giving to you. You need someone to carry on. Your sons Hophni and Phinehas, they have failed, but I'm giving you a son. And this was a gift that Eli had never received before. And so, you who have children, I say that Abraham was called upon by God, give me your child. And he did after that child was born. And Hannah was spoken to by God in her heart. And God said to her, I will only give you a child if you promise to give him to me. And so Hannah did give her child to God. And Abraham gave his son to God. And they both turned out to be men of God, blessings to Israel. And I wonder if you young people are willing to be given to God by your parents, if your parents' wishes are paramount in your life. And as the son said, I do always those things that please my Father. I wonder if there are young people today who say, I am prepared to do those things that please you, even though the world may look upon my appearance and it's strange, and even though the world may think that I'm wasting my life, I lay my life down as you gave me to God. I concur with this vow that you have made. And so I wonder if you will be remembered as Samuel and as Isaac, or if you will be one who passes into insignificance and then into the lake of fire. The desire in the heart of Hannah to give her child to God. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so thankful that you enable us to worship you with a basket of fruit, with our children, with our substance, with the fruit of our lips, so many ways that we can worship thee. And some are so choice that you say to Abraham, I want your son. And you say to Hannah, I want your son. And you say to the rich young ruler, I want your substance. And some say yes, and some say no. And our Father, we pray that we shall understand the things that are rightfully thine. Thou art God. Thou art to be worshipped. And so we pray that we shall worship thee in whatever way you call upon us to worship thee. Thy Son has said, this do in remembrance of me. And we are so thankful for this meeting in which we have a special opportunity as the priesthood to come and worship thee and to remember thy Son. And so help us, Father, in whatever way that thou dost impress upon our hearts to be worshipers. Find in us those worshipers to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.